Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Welcome back to another episode of Right Here in Mass. Joining me today is Brendan Elliott, who has been in financial services for over 14 years. In 2017, he founded Cornerstone Financial Group, LLC, to provide extensive and personal service. Here, he maintains a relationship with New York Life and the Boston General Office, but is not entirely exclusive to their products. He takes a fully integrated, proactive approach to financial planning, custom to each individual client's needs. His focus is working with individuals, small businesses, young families, and retirees and pre-retirees, while also providing options for wealth protection. Brendan, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. I know I gave an overview of what you do and what you offer here at Cornerstone Financial Group, but I'd love if you could share with our audience a little bit more about what it is that you do.
Yeah, sure. Of course. So like you said, we take each one of our clients through a fully integrated planning process. A lot of the areas in which we specialize in is working in retirement, investments, of course, life insurance, right? Because that's part of any good financial plan. We do college funding strategies. And ultimately, at the end of the day, we help our clients also focus on and plan and prepare for their estate planning needs.
And what inspired you to actually pursue this as a career?
You know what? If we're getting right to it and off the cuff and rolling the sleeves
right
up,
in.
I'll tell you. You know, my mother is a bookkeeper, very good with numbers. She always taught me, you know, the importance of math and understanding the concept of money when I was a little kid. My grandfather, although he didn't have a degree in engineering, you know, he taught me how to balance a checkbook, I think, when I was like seven. And so I had some goals and some dreams to pursue a law degree. Unfortunately, in 2008, when I was graduating from college, there were more law students than there were lawyers. Right. And I knew some law students that were graduating and some of my friends that had law degrees that were going out and the only job they could find was landscaping. Right. And of course, that no downside to being a landscaper, but obviously that's not what they were spending hundreds of thousands of dollars for their education for. And so kind of walking aimlessly through my senior year of college, I bumped into a guy in a three-piece suit. And, you know, we started talking and he said, you ever thought about getting into finance? And I said, you know, I have a pretty good idea of money, but no, not really. And he said, well, why don't you come in for an interview? And that was May of 2008. Right. And, here we are 15 years later, just rocking and rolling. Right.
Yeah.
And so it was great. It was great. I ended up by accident finding my life's passion.
And I love that. And from there, I mean, you did work for New York Life, but then you started Cornerstone Financial Group in 2017. So what was that process like of shifting into starting your own firm? And was there anything in particular that happened that kind of influenced that?
Sure, sure. So, I started off with New York Life and Nylife Securities. One of the things that drew me to the company, other than their outstanding reputation and history, they've been around for 178 years, right? But the main thing that was important to me was their extensive training program and their support, where they were going to offer me the opportunity and sponsor not only the life insurance licenses, but also any investment licenses that I wanted to attain and go after to build my practice. I specialized in working with the blue collar working class, right? Because that's my life, that's my family, that's where I come from. So I wanted to really be kind of that self-appointed king of the blue collar working class. And fortunate enough, through a lot of support, through a lot of my clients and the referrals they gave me, I was fortunate enough to build my book of business to where I was actually promoted to partner in the firm. And so now I was promoted into management. So I got to run a team of advisors and teach them how to do what I was doing and having success with. Loved being a partner there. It was fantastic. It was a real world education. And I always tell everybody, I said, New York Life basically gave me a doctorate in how to run a financial firm. Right. And then, as I was turning 30, it was 2 months before my wedding, I woke up. I had a meeting with the CEO of the Boston office, and my wife said, or my soon to be wife said, "What are you guys going to talk about today?" And I said, "I think I want to resign and start my own company." Right. And really the reason for that was because when you're in management, they really do encourage you to be in management full through, through and through. And they don't want you to have a distracted view of bringing in your own clients, also giving the new advisors all the attention that you can give them. So you're not actually able to work with the clients directly when you're in management. I love working with clients. That's literally what it came down to. I had 5 years as an advisor, 4 years as a manager, and I just said, I really want to go back out in the field. It was really important to me as an entrepreneur to be able to grow my own brand, right? And that's where Cornerstone came up. And when I presented the idea to New York Life and the gentleman that I was discussing before, that's the managing partner, the Boston office, he said, "I think it's a great idea. We support you through and through, and we're going to give you every resource that you can need, and we'd actually like to back you." So we actually still maintain an agency relationship with New York Life, and I'm very, very fortunate to be able to have earned that opportunity. So that was the main reason behind opening Cornerstone. It was just I felt after having experience in both, I knew where my heart was, and so I
Yeah.
pursued that.
And I can imagine it likely made it an easier transition for you, knowing that you had the support from them and their best wishes as you move forward with this new journey.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't imagine trying to go out into business in this industry and trying to do it on your own, right? I think it's unbelievably important of it's not just who you are, but also who you have and keep around you. That's what's helped me grow my business to where we are today, and I'm very thankful and fortunate to have that opportunity.
Absolutely. So when you were starting Cornerstone, what was that like? What were the challenges that you might have faced, or what are some unexpected things that came up that you weren't really anticipating?
Yeah, I think whenever you work for a Fortune 100 company, you take for granted how much behind the scenes stuff they take care of for you, right? And that's one of the best parts about being a part of a big company like that, right? So when I went off and started Cornerstone Financial Group, I think I significantly underestimated the importance of the business management side of the career. Right. I was very good at what I did. I was very good at networking. I was good at making financial recommendations. But I think the MBA side of it is really what was an eye-opening experience for me, and something that we focus on here now, as we've expanded. That's something that we focus on every day.
Yeah. And I can imagine that with the starting of your business that you've experienced so many exciting milestones and accomplishments through that, that I'd love to hear more about.
Sure. Yeah, we've been very fortunate. Within the last 7 years, we have qualified for the Million Dollar Roundtable 5 times. We're actually the last 3 years, we have been the court of the table, which is an industry-wide success. Sorry, an industry-wide organization that tracks and recognizes people that are having success in the financial industry. Right. And so Million Dollar Roundtable is an accomplishment in and of its own. We're a very small percentage of financial advisors and planners actually qualify for Million Dollar Roundtable. But then on top of that, there's actually the court of the table, which is where we now qualify for, which is the top of the top, which is fantastic. Right. And so we've had a lot of those accomplishments. We've had a lot of other successes throughout the years, and we just keep rocking and rolling. We have
Yeah.
another exciting announcement to come out, but I'm not legally allowed to say anything until July 10th. So I don't know when this comes out, but it's revolving around Forbes magazine. So that's
Oh.
something to stay tuned for.
Well, that's perfect because this episode will be released July 4th. So it'll be just about a week after. So there
Okay, fantastic,
you
fantastic.
go.
Yeah, we've very much enjoyed a lot of the success that we've had. We work very hard. All of it is due to the clients that trust us with the work that we do and with their business, and obviously a lot of the networking partners that we've had throughout the years, obviously you being one of them as being a part of it recently. But yeah, really without them, I always tell people that are in the office, said, you can know everything that you can know, but if you don't have anybody to talk to, you're just the smartest broke guy in the office. And that doesn't pay the bills. So
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point. And having the company for about 7 years now, you've been able to build an extensive team. What has that been like of finding the right individuals to become a part of Cornerstone Financial Group and really being there to support your clients?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, as any business owner nowadays will tell you, right? Finding good help is really hard to find, right? And so, the first thing was is I found a woman, Samantha Amato, right? This was almost 5 years ago. September will be 5 years, where she came in, and I wasn't looking for an assistant. I wasn't looking for a secretary. I was looking for an office manager, right? I needed to find somebody that cared as much about the business as I did, not somebody that just came in and punched the clock, right? And very fortunate, after going through a few candidates, we found Samantha, and she's been with me ever since, and she's never allowed to leave me ever, right? But she also knows that. She knows that. And then, yeah, what was very fortunate was because of the level of success that I was having individually, I earned the right to have a contract where I could hire and develop new advisors under the Cornerstone name. And so we've very specifically interviewed and onboarded various types of individuals from all different walks of life and, gender, background, religion, like all of it. Right. And they've all come in, and they're a perfect fit for our puzzle here at Cornerstone. And we've been very fortunate over the last 3 years, where we've gone from just Samantha and I to now we have seven people, eight people
That's
on the company.
amazing.
And we have three more people that are in the pipeline to potentially join the family. Right. And
Wow.
so, yeah, so it's been fantastic.
When you are getting a new client and you have your team members, is there like a matching process that kind of fits the right client to the right team member? Like, how does that work with being able to find the right fit for them?
Yeah, that's a great question. And you know what? That actually ties back into the business management side of things, right? And
Oh, there you
because,
go.
of course I want to work with everybody. I'm
Yeah.
just that guy. I'm like, I don't care if you have $150 or 100, 1.5 million. I want to, or 15 million, right? I'll work with any of those, anybody. Unfortunately, I only have so much time. And so, I've been fortunate enough to be able to progress my individual focus on working with some of the more affluent clients, right? Love working with young families, right? I am a young family. I have a beautiful wife and a 3-year-old boy and a 2-year-old boy. So I can empathize with them. I can relate to them. I understand their goals and their concerns. So I do really enjoy working with young families. But as new clients come in, there is a little bit of a vetting process, but because we have five other advisors, we some women, female business owners, they really thrive in working with a female advisor, right? And so we have a female advisor, and she speaks five languages, right? And so if somebody
Wow.
comes in and there might be a little bit of a language barrier, we have that in-house where we can help bridge that gap, right? And a couple of different people that work here do specialize in different areas of financial planning. So really, it's just as people come in, we take a look at what they're trying to get accomplished, and then we try to make the perfect match.
That's great. And speaking of accomplishments, do people come to you or come to your team with very specific goals that they want to reach that you can kind of help to bring them closer to achieving through their financial plan and strategy?
It would be nice if that were the case most of the time, right? I do think that the access to information has certainly allowed the conversation to progress a little bit faster than it did 15 years ago. However, I also think all this access to all of this information is also a crutch, right? And can sometimes hold people back because there's too much information.
Right.
So a lot of times a client will come in and go, I know this is important. I know I need to work on it. I know I need to focus on it, make it a priority, but I also don't know what I don't know. But I'm here. Right. And so those clients I love because they're a blank canvas, and we get to walk them through our process from the very beginning. Which is obviously a very different meeting from somebody that says, I just left my job. I have an old 401k. What should I do with it? And when can I retire? That's a very specific conversation with clients that we have on a daily basis. But those clients, most of the time, the clients are coming in going, all right, I know this is important, right? But I don't know where to start. And then
Yeah.
we get to work.
Yeah. And I can imagine that's probably really fun because there might be a lot of instances where people can be capable of achieving specific goals, but it might have seemed like a faraway dream for them that they didn't even think it was possible. And you could be like, actually, you can achieve this, or you can reach this goal. So I think that's really exciting.
Of course, of course. And that's ultimately the reward for us, right? We're building relationships, right? We're doing everything we can. Our slogan is cornerstone, in your corner, by your side, right? Because a lot of times we're going to have multiple conversations in multiple different areas. And a lot of times most people, they just need a sounding board.
Yeah.
You know, just to bounce a financial idea off of, and they don't even necessarily always need the advice, more so just, does that make sense? Am I thinking about that right? And I go, based off of what you're telling me, you know, or hey, watch out for this, you know, so.
Absolutely. And since most of our audience and listeners are part of the entrepreneur business owner demographic, is there anything that you kind of like to share when it comes to entrepreneurship and your finances and some things that people should keep in mind?
Absolutely. I actually just wrapped up a meeting with a very successful business owner, been in business for multiple years, almost 20 years, right? And younger gentleman as well, in perspective, of course, right? And so at the end of the day, most business owners are spending every hour of their waking lives working on building their business and being the best at what they do and growing money. And I mean, growing their business and making money. Right. What I always tell our local business owners is, that's what I want you to do. We also want to make sure that we can carve out a couple of hours a year in order to really dive in and make sure that you allow us to worry about the rest. Right. And so my role is first and foremost education, right? To tell the people, these are the things that are out there. These are the things that are exposures to your business. These are the things that you can put in place to accomplish some of your goals, right? But ultimately, there's never going to be the right time to carve out a couple hours, ever. And unfortunately, we keep looking on that distance and that horizon. It's almost like you're in the ocean, right? That horizon just, no matter how far you travel, that horizon just keeps staying further and further away. So when it comes to financial planning as a business owner, it's taking a couple hours a year, by the way, right? And just really making it a priority to sit down, knowing it's never going to be the right time, but also knowing that it's so important to start now, because the sooner you start, the less it takes.
Yeah, I think that's a great piece of advice, especially because, like you mentioned, it's only a few hours a year. And when people take that time, what are the things that you recommend they look at? Like, are you referring to their bank accounts or any investments they might have? Like, what might that stuff entail?
I think the big overall conversation, right? If because obviously each situation is going to be different, right? So, and also from a compliance perspective, it would be hard to say each business owner should worry about this, right? So, because that's just it wouldn't be appropriate to say that as a blanket statement. But a lot of times, what I'm talking to clients or business clients about are some of the exposures that could get in the way of their growth. Right. In other words, an untimely death to an employee, or taxes, or, you know, the way that they're incorporated and things like that. And then the other side of the conversations are, what are your goals? Right. How are you getting out of the business? What are you offering your employees? What are you doing for you? You are the largest asset to your company. Right. A lot of people think that the trucks or the equipment or the buildings that they own are the largest asset. Those aren't the largest asset. That might be what you've spent the most money on. But those aren't the most valuable assets. You, as the business owner that makes that, you are the lifeblood that runs through the veins of that business to keep it alive. So you are the largest asset. And what we need to do is understand how to leverage that asset to put yourself in a position to succeed.
I love that you brought that up, because I feel like I myself am guilty of that too, is thinking like, if I were to step away from my business for whatever reason, could it still survive? And I think a lot of people tend to forget about that thought too. And I think it's really important that you brought that up and kind of remind people the cruciality of just being able to remember that and think about it and plan for it as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so in addition to having Cornerstone Financial Group, you also do a lot of stuff with networking, having started Networking Group USA. And I'd love to hear more about that, how you started that organization, and everything you're doing with it.
Sure. You know what? Like I said, I grew up on a construction site with my dad. And one of the things that I learned from a very young age is your success is going to depend on who you know and who you can call on, right? And who can call on you, even more importantly, right? And so the very much blue collar mindset is what I brought into this business, which was I wanted to become the major point of reference or the largest resource that I could be to my community. And that also meant outside of the industry that I was in. And so what was important to me was getting those phone calls and saying, hey, this isn't what you do, but I know you know someone that does this. Who do you got? Right. When people are looking for help, because the yellow pages back then weren't always the most reliable. Right. And so I became obsessed with building relationships. I became obsessed with networking and bringing people into my circle and vetting them and maybe adding some and subtracting some. And ultimately, all that is networking. Right. And so after a few experiences in some other networking organizations, I liked some of the things that were being done, and I thought some things could be better. And so ultimately, just like any good invention, they're usually birthed out of necessity, right? And so I just saw a need, and I said, "Well, let's do it." And so I came up with some of the things that I liked, and I trashed some of the things I didn't like. And we had our first meeting. There were six of us in the back of a frozen yogurt shop. And I said, here's how we're going to network, and here's how we're going to do it on purpose. And these are some of the core values that I want in this group. And that's where, Networking Group USA was born. And luckily now, 10 years later, we started October of 2014, right? And so now 10 years later, we have 30 different franchise chapters with over 500 local business owners. And it's a fantastic place for local business owners to be able to come together. The tagline, which really is the moral center of Networking Group USA, is that we're here to build relationships on opportunity, not obligation. Right? We want you to be able to get in, get exposed to other local like-minded hungry business owners, but not feel obligated that you have to refer them just because you're in that group. Right? I don't want you to feel pressure that you're not referring somebody that you don't feel comfortable referring. What I want is I want to provide an opportunity for you to get that exposure, the opportunity to set up time to build a relationship with somebody, and then make the decision if you feel as though you can, it's the right fit when you do send them a referral.
Absolutely. And then people don't have to worry about getting kicked out of the organization if they're not hitting their quota or
Yeah.
whatever it might
Oh
be.
no, I think I have a little, maybe a little bit of a different approach to things, right? Call it a little bit of pushback on authority, right? But to me, unless you're paying my mortgage, I have a hard time with you telling me what I can't do, what I can and can't do, right? And so I've taken that approach with NGU, right? I said, I'm never going to tell a grown adult what they can and can't do unless I'm paying their mortgage, and I got my own to pay. Right. And so ultimately, at the end of the day, this is what we do. This is what has proven to be successful, and this is how we should follow suit. And if you do, you'll get a great amount of success. And if you don't, you'll stop showing up. Right. Nobody in our groups, nobody keeps showing up when they're not getting referrals. Right. And usually the only reason you're not getting referrals is because you're not proving yourself to be worthy of the trust that comes with somebody sending you a referral. So yeah, we just took a little bit more of that, homegrown blue collar, that guy, hey, that lady, that woman, she's a nice person. I could trust her. I want to send her business, not a, I have to. And if you don't, you're shunned in the corner. Nah, that's not how it has to work anymore.
And as you mentioned, you've expanded it to several different chapters or franchises. And so, what was that process like? Did you have people in different areas of the state or even the country finding you and reaching out and wanting to start a chapter where they are, and it kind of just go from there?
Every single chapter is from word of mouth. They've approached us. We have spent $0 on marketing and recruiting. Really, what happened was obviously, anytime there's a new shiny toy, everybody wants to play with it.
Right.
Right. And so we were the new kids on the block. And it was just meant to be this one group. That's all. I just wanted this one chapter that I enjoyed going to, that I had a group of people I could count on. And what ended up happening was we threw a night event, right? Invited all the local business owners, and we had 150 people show up.
Oh my gosh.
Right? It was wild. It was like our Super Bowl. We didn't even expect it to happen. And in that meeting, I took a minute while, and you know, after a few drinks have been, you know, flying around the room a little bit, some people had some food in their bellies, and you know, we shut the music down and we kind of lowered it. And I took the microphone and explained what we were trying to do here. And it was to give people other opportunities than what were just out there for networking. Mm-hmm. And after that meeting, people said, I love it. I live in Pembroke. I live in Taunton. I live in Rainham. I'm in Worcester, right? Can we start one in Bourne, right? And it was just like, sure. Yeah. It was never meant to be that. This is just the six of us that started in the back of a frozen yogurt shop in Lakeville, you know? And so, and then from there, obviously understanding that there was a need, and there was enthusiasm, just like any good entrepreneur, you're going to capitalize on that. And that's what we've done. And, we are light years from where we were 10 years ago. I like to say we were knocking rocks together to make fire, and now we're on the iPhone 13. So.
Yeah. And I think it's a testament to what you've built that there are so many chapters and franchises now, and people clearly were facing the same pain points or frustrations with their own networking experiences that made them want to join an organization that was doing things differently.
And again, it's a testament to those people that reached out and wanted to start, right? Because I got to be honest with you, anybody could have done what I did. I just did it first.
Yeah.
Right. But certainly, and I didn't even do it first. That's the thing, right? I mean, networking with local business owners have been around, little fun fact, don't quote me though, but this is what I've always been told. Benjamin Franklin is actually accredited with organizing the first local business networking group. So this thing has been around since pre-Declaration of Independence. So I didn't reinvent the wheel, right? We just kind of reinvented the process and some of the outlook and the approach to it. And it just seems to line up a lot more with what the community needs now as we start to really hyper-focus on supporting smaller local businesses.
Absolutely. And with your experience, both starting Networking Group USA and being a board member on the Cranberry Country Chamber of Commerce, you obviously have a lot of networking experience, which is something that's important for business owners to have. But a lot of people might be like a little bit averse to networking or being a little bit reserved, so to say. So what advice would you have for someone when just being able to improve their networking skills and being able to grow their local community?
Well, I think that's a multi-level question, right? And so let's start first with the psychology behind it. If you are a business owner or a business professional where you are in charge of growing the business, and you have to hyper-focus on growing your network and networking in general, right? Because ultimately it is a sales position. I think anybody that is a business owner that may not understand that may hit a lot more trials and tribulations or struggles than somebody that does understand, even though they may be an auto body shop or in finance or whatever they might be. You're in sales if you're offering a service, and if people can't find you, they can't use you. So for us, we make it an absolute priority at Cornerstone Financial Group that networking goes into your weekly calendar, non-negotiable, right? Because again, you can be the smartest person in the world, but if you don't have anybody to talk to about it, you're just the smartest broke person in the office.
Yeah, right? I think that's a good point. Just making sure that it's that consistent, always showing up each week, because it's that consistency of people seeing you multiple times that will remember who you are, what you do, and how you can help them.
Absolutely.
And on the topic of local community and supporting local businesses, one of my favorite questions to ask our podcast guests is what their favorite local businesses are to support. So if you had to pick a few, knowing that you live in Halifax and work in Plymouth, What would you say your favorite businesses are?
No, I love it. I obviously, because of what I do for a living, right? A lot of times I am, I'm working as part of a team for every client, right? And so in my arena, a team is made up of tax professionals, right? Accountants, CPAs, bookkeeping, right? Melissa Carnes from Carnes Bookkeeping has been a phenomenal relationship. Also, because we do estate planning, having a trusted estate planning attorney that most of the time the client comes to us and goes, I know I need to do it, but I don't know who, right? And I think that's such an intimate conversation, estate planning, that you really want to be introduced to somebody to handle that. And I've built a great relationship with Ashley Evers, who is a local estate planning attorney out of Lakeville for many years. And we work a lot together in that way. But I got to be honest with you, I love it. I love when a client, or even somebody who's not a client yet, calls me and says, I had somebody last night that said, oh, you know, I need a chiropractor, and, you know, my back's a little out of whack. I said, I've got a great chiropractor. He's in my networking group USA. His name's Stephen Leone. He's right up the street in Brockton, and that client actually happened to live in Brockton. So I was like, it was a perfect match.
Yeah.
So I think that also a big one for me is tradespeople, I do believe, are the backbone of this country, right? And unfortunately, I don't feel as though they're given enough credit. Where credit is due for what they do and what they build, because without them, we have nothing, right?
Right.
And so one very enthusiastic, smart business owner, second generation, is Ben Altman from New England Glass and Remodeling. I'm not sure if you had a chance to meet Benny yet, but he's a fantastic guy, and he takes a very specific and detailed business approach to the blue collar world, which you don't always see, right? And so unfortunately, a lot of blue collar people are out there on the job sites very early, so they're not able to take the time and set it aside on purpose to network. And you know, Benny has been there since 10 years ago when we started, and said, I understand the value, and I'm going to grow this business, and in order to do that, I need to know people. And so I would say those three are probably the biggest ones that we interact with on a regular basis. But ultimately, that's the nice part about being a part of Networking Group USA, is anybody can come to me and I have over 500 options for them.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I love that. And if there was one last piece of advice you could give to someone who's listening to this episode in regards to their finances, what would that be?
In regard to their finances, I have to be careful out of respect, just because I can't give out any kind of financial guidance on an interview like this for compliance purposes. So, what I might do is I might tell you a little bit of, maybe a little bit of a business psychology type of approach,
or advice.
I'm a firm believer that if you don't write it down, it probably won't happen. Right now, I don't mean you need to have these big elaborate vision boards, or you have to go post on social media all your intimate goals and dreams. Right. I don't mean that. I just, when you're thinking about making money, becoming successful, right? Money isn't everything, obviously, all the time. But whenever you're thinking about going to that next tier, hitting that next level and being outside your comfort zone, right? How to become comfortable being uncomfortable. Right, is really, if you don't write it down, it's probably not going to happen. And then if you don't track it, it doesn't exist. Right. And so we work very hard on the business management thing, business management side, and those things where, what's the goal? Annually, quarterly, monthly, weekly, right? All the way down to, okay, but now we need to come up and we need to develop the business plan, and then we need to track it. Because if we don't have any data, we don't have anything to go on. And unfortunately, a lot of times, we are the easiest ones to sell ourselves, right? And so we'll trick ourselves into things are okay, or things are better than they really are, or even worse. Sometimes I've had a couple of people that have worked here before that have tricked themselves into that things are worse than they really are. I said, oh, I don't see that. Where do you see that? Show me where you see that. And they go, well, I just feel it. I can't. I mean, I love it. I wear my heart on my sleeve, right? And if anybody, I mean, we've met before in person, and everybody that's been around me, they're like, man, he's a lot of personality. He's definitely not the quietest guy in the room. I wear my heart on my sleeve. I love everybody I meet. But when it comes to business, if I'm not tracking, if I don't have the goal, I don't write it down, I come up with a plan and then track it, the rest of it is just, you know, throwing water into the wind and hoping you can somehow make it work in your favor. And that's just not a predictable business strategy. And so we just try to make everything as efficient as we possibly can, trim the fat.
Yeah. And I love that, especially because I feel like writing it down and tracking it also brings in that sense of accountability. And if you're seeing that whatever it is that you've written down over and over again, it's always kind of reminding you of that goal that you've set and keeping you on track.
And I think it kind of goes back to that reinventing the wheel thing, right? And everybody goes, ah, well, don't try and reinvent the wheel. Yeah, but you also don't have to do things the way they've always been done.
Exactly.
So what I always try to do, and I do a lot of work on self-evaluation and self-assessment and personal growth, right? And then hopefully something that I've learned, I can pass on to either the people that I work with or associate with. And to me, I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. I'm trying to reinvent myself, right? And I stick to that, and then we track it. And then I know what works and what doesn't work or what could work if I did it a little differently. And with that, it allows us to not try something and just scrap it because it didn't work out right away. A lot of times, you just need some time and some tweaks, and then it will end up working. So, that's my philosophy.
Great advice. Brendan, this has been such a great episode to being able to have the opportunity to share more about you and what you do and how you can support individuals and businesses with their finances. And now I'd love it if you could share with our audience where they can find you online in case they'd like to connect with you further.
Yeah, absolutely. We'd love that. So our website is cstonefinancial.com, right? The C is in cornerstone. So it's www.cstonefinancial.com. Email address is Brendan, just my first name, at cstonefinancial.com. You can Google us. We have a ton of Google reviews, which has been fantastic. We are on Facebook. For compliance purposes, we have to be a little careful on Instagram and Twitter, right? So we tend to shy away from that. Also on LinkedIn, you can find me just by my name, Brendan Elliott. And surprisingly enough, I do give out my cell phone directly. So we do have an office line. You can Google that. But if you're looking to get in touch with me directly, the phone number is 508-562-1706. That is my direct cell phone line. And so that way you have a direct line to me directly.
Perfect. And I'll link to those places in the show notes so that way our listeners can click through and connect with you from there. But thank you so much again for being a guest on today's show.
Thank you so much for having me. And I love everything you're doing. Keep it up.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.